ruin the next hour of my life.
Oh, no.
Had to step away. I was in the bathroom sweating, but it did open a conversation. I went back and told him about how terrible it was.
And then all of a sudden, he was like, holy, you're a carrier. And he's like, I don't want to talk to carriers.
Man, we have a special episode in store today. A couple heavy hitters here at Zipline Logistics. Two of our business development representatives. We got Joe Lovell and Tyler Matthews.
Calling all CPG shippers, truckers, and logistics pros. Welcome to the Truck Yeah Podcast, your ultimate cheat code for smarter shipping, smoother logistics, and dominating the shelf where it matters most. Buckle up. It's time to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Truck Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics Podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, Teddy Lee Knox. Hello, Teddy.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. Man, we have a special episode in store today. A couple heavy hitters here at Zipline Logistics. Two of our business development representatives. We got Joe Lovell. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
And Tyler Matthews. Hello, Tyler.
What's going on, Jesse?
I'm just living the dream, getting a chance to talk to you both. Let's just start off. How long have you worked here at Zipline, and how long have you been in logistics, Tyler?
I've been here for just over 3 years now, and we're talking just over 3 years in the logistics industry. It's all been with Zipline.
Nice. Joe, how about yourself?
I have been here coming up on a year in December. And total in the industry, right around 15.
Nice. A couple seasoned veterans. Teddy, do you want to just give out your stats while we're at it?
Sure. 14 years at Zipline, 14 years in logistics.
Nice. Rock and roll. So one of the things that we have harped on here at Zipline is our CPG specialty.
Consumer packaged goods, for those who are not regular listeners.
There you go. 85% of our freight ends up on a retail shelf. One of the best ways for us to connect with CPG brands is to attend trade shows. And so we're talking today with the two gentlemen who attend the most trade shows here in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about that. Why do we, Tyler, we'll start with you. Why do we service CPG brands? What's the point?
The point is there's quite a few different logistics companies out there in kind of a specialization or a niche that we can really highlight our skills and stand out from the rest is the CPG market. And whether that be small, medium-sized companies going into a retailer for the very first time, not knowing exactly the requirements that are needed to go in there, the different, you know, fines, chargebacks, or pallet requirements, you name it, we can really add some great value to these partners that are just small and growing brands, so they become, you know, large flourishing companies that are excelling in all the retail space, including other receivers that might be out there as well. So really working with a lot of the smaller companies that are up and coming and helping being a part of their growth story.
And we can just enjoy the ride.
I'd like to.
How about that? Joe, anything in your year long here? You mentioned 15 years in transportation, but just a year here at Zipline. Did you manage CPG at your previous roles?
I did, I can say that it wasn't always done well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, coming from some more, I guess you'd say, more traditional brokerages, that's the reason why Zipline exists. Is it's really, really difficult to do well unless you make it a focus, and very few companies do that. So it's been apparent since I've been here that this company was created through that lens of CPG. Everything we do is to service those customers. So it really makes it easier as a salesperson to sell our service and our product.
And as the longest standing Zipliner on this podcast, humble brag, we'll just go ahead and say it. It's exactly that point. And it was, you know, when we created Zipline, it was because there was a hole in the marketplace and they figured that out. To both of your points, it's, you know, it's something that other people were doing, but not well. And, you know, the CPG vendors and consumers were the ones suffering because of it.
Oh, how are they suffering?
Because things were not on the shelves and you can't get what you need, or you can't order it. You know, if it's not at the warehouse on time, whether it's retail shelf or e-commerce or, you know, through Amazon or Walmart.com, if it's not available to ship, if it's not available to buy, it causes problems. You can listen to earlier podcasts and hear all about involuntary sampling and things that can kind of create some issues for the brands, but then also the consumers. You know, if they don't have what they need, then, you know, they're going to either go somewhere else or start buying from someone else.
Yeah, nobody wins. That's for sure. The MABD adherence is off if you don't deliver on time. That results in fine for the customer. If it's not delivered on time, like you said, it doesn't show up on the shelf. That means the consumer is missing out on the product. It's just a real bad result across the board. But yeah. Today, oh, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, no, I was just going to say there's nothing worse as a salesperson when you go through the entire sales process and you work really hard to bring on an account and then you realize we're not going to be able to service this account and we're going to lose this business really quickly.
Absolutely. So I touched on it briefly, but the best way for us to reach out and connect to some of these CPG companies is they have a presence at these trade shows. Is there any other reasons why Zipline would invest in support in CPG specific trade shows? Teddy, you want to tackle that one?
Because we're the most fun.
There you go. That's one.
We make the trade shows more fun for everybody.
Sure. Tyler?
Yeah. I mean, that's our main focus is CPG brands. So it's always enjoyable for us to get out there and meet a lot of the partners that we're speaking with on the phone, emailing with day to day, developing those kind of personal relationships and meeting them, like I said, in person. And along the way, we have a good time as well. So it's kind of a win-win for all of us, both from, we're there for business point of view, but also making great personal relationships and enjoying ourselves along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only is it a good opportunity to meet new potential clients, but a lot of our current client base are there with either sponsoring in conjunction at that trade show like we do. I'm thinking of a fabulous trade show, Expo West, that's out in California every March. You know, we have, like I said, collaborative partner customers that are there also. So it's a great way for us to connect with all those people, stay at the forefront of any updates or new SKUs that are coming out, and then kind of review the business every year as we head to Expo West. That's a really, really good one.
Well, I think it's a really good way for us to build our brand and our presence in the space. So I've noticed, over the course of just this year, seeing a lot of familiar faces at these shows, and now I'm being recognized, Zipline's being recognized. So we are slowly becoming the provider within that space, because there's not a lot of logistics providers at these shows, maybe a handful. Mm-hmm. So being the ones that stand out, we come to mind. So I think that's a well spent investment.
Mm-hmm. I would also add, as from a sales perspective, it's a lot more difficult to dodge an email or a phone call when you actually talk to somebody in person. So a lot more.
How about that?
Connections happen at the show, maybe, versus just standing in the office.
Or if they've been dodging your emails and you can corner them in person, that's helpful too.
And usually they turn out to be pretty good relationships.
Just know we are not confrontational salespeople, no, please.
What was that? Love bombing?
Yeah.
You can love bomb them at the
another
at the
podcast.
Trade show.
This is just like an Easter egg for their podcast now.
Teddy, I know you've been to a few trade shows. Do you have a favorite or a funniest moment that you remember from your trade show experiences?
So one of the funniest moments I've had, I guess, recently, which I've actually only ever been to one trade show. So I've helped with a lot of them, but I've only been to one. And the one that I was at, I was talking with someone. It was a really great conversation. I was talking to them about retailers. And then all of a sudden he was like, holy shit, you're a Carrier. And he's like, I don't want to talk to Carriers. And he goes, if I knew who you were, I wouldn't talk to you. And, I was like, well, you're talking to me now. And he's like, all right, fine. And then we just kept talking back and forth about retailers and compliance and all of these issues.
And now they're our best client.
It was just funny that he got very upset. He's like, I didn't know you were like a logistics salesperson. So I don't know if that meant that I didn't look like one, or maybe I wasn't talking like one. I don't really know what that means, but that was a pretty funny moment, and that he just kept giving me the information anyway after the fact.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good way to break through a wall. I didn't even know who you were.
Yeah. just thought we were having a conversation.
Yeah, I've got a handful. I've certainly been to my fair share in the 13 years here at Zipline. One of my past clients had an investment from a television star from the show Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's right. I'm talking Sarah Michelle Gellar. And she was there and we got to chat with her for a little bit. And
that's awesome.
Yes, she was very interested in the logistics arm of that was moving her freight.
That's cool.
Tyler, how about you?
I'm trying to think what really stands out to me a lot. It's kind of funny when you go with different people to different these shows, and predominantly they're food and beverage shows. You're going to come across maybe some snacks or some foods that maybe don't agree with you or that don't quite fit your flavor profile of choice. So seeing a few of my colleagues try different, you know, samples that are out there that maybe just wanted to see what they would taste like and the reactions that they had, it's always kind of funny seeing someone try something that wasn't typically or what they thought they were going to have.
Yeah, we're not going to get into specifics. We're not going to call out any unique non-typical food ingredient manufacturers out there, but there's a place for everybody. We understand there's a market for everyone, but goodness sakes, I'm kidding. Joe, what about yourself? Any things that comes to mind?
I have a couple. Similar to what Tyler was saying, the samples, you gotta try the samples. That's kind of how you get in the door and get these conversations started. Had one, it was a hot sauce brand. And they had it was like it looked like a jelly. It was kind of a scary looking hot sauce. It was clear. It didn't look like a regular hot sauce. I tried it just because I wanted to really start up a conversation. It ruined the next hour of my life.
I had
to step away. I was in the bathroom sweating, but it did open a conversation. I went back and told them about how terrible it was. So there's that. And then I just had one recently at the NACS show in Chicago. I am not very in the know in terms of the hip hop industry. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these shows have special guests and people that come
celebrities,
support
yeah.
a brand. And there was a rapper, Waka Flocka.
Sure.
Who I was not familiar with. My 15-year-old daughter chastised me for that and was like, are you kidding me? But I was talking to the guy for, you know, 5-10 minutes, thinking that he was kind of by a booth, that he was just a guy that, I thought he had a strange name, but he had a regular badge on like everybody else. And, you know, then people start coming up and asking for a photo. And
you were like, of me?
And I realized that he was someone important. And I kind of apologized. And because I was asking him like about the business and what do you do? The normal stuff. So mm-hmm. that was kind of funny.
I bet it was pretty refreshing for him just to have a normal conversation for once, though.
He was probably like, who is this guy?
I've run into a few of those situations with TikTok stars, and I'm not on TikTok. I don't watch any of them. And yeah, after conversations happen, all of a sudden there's like a little billboard next to the brand, and it's the person. Like, I've seen it on TikTok. I was like, I had no clue who you were, and still don't really. But
famous for something.
Don't impress these sales reps. Yeah.
I remember another one. John Spider Sally was a representative for another brand back out at Expo West, and as a Detroit native, he was part of those Pistons teams in the 89-90s that won back-to-back championships. So that was always fun to see. You might know him from Bad Boys, Tyler.
I know John Sally.
Okay.
Yeah, he's about 8 feet tall, isn't he?
Yes, he's very tall. It was hard not to see him. Let's talk about some clients, some contacts. As you mentioned, we're cornering people. We're love-bombing them in an appropriate way. We're not pushy, but we're going up there. We've established a connection, and then hopefully they turn into a client. You got any, without naming a specific client, got any fun story like that?
Yes, I'd say probably one of my very first shows I visited. It might have been Expo West a few years ago. I'll say from there, ended up finding an early partner of ours, customer of ours that we still work to this day. But it was kind of just one of those situations where I walked up to the booth. As we always do, or as I always try to do, just network at the booth, learn more about the brand, who's the right person to speak with. Are they actually at the show? Because you run into that a lot too. We're probably like 95% of the booth is going to be sales reps and marketing. So when you do actually come in contact with someone who's handling the shipping and the freight, it's kind of a pleasant surprise. So, ended up having a great conversation with this nice lady. Spoke with her probably 2 or 3 straight days of the show and went through the full suite of what Zipline provided. Also was able to get out our iPad and demo our technology piece, Canopy. That's very valuable as well. And she saw all the value that could create for her company and department as well. And from there, just continued conversations once we got back home. And it wasn't shortly after that we were able to start working together. And like I said, still do to this day.
Nice. How about you, Joe?
Yeah, I think just within the last year, You know, I think it's been, let's see, 7 shows this year. And I'm looking back at some of the earlier ones. It does take some time. You know, the seeds you're planting at these. And again, you're seeing some of the same faces and some of the same brands as you go through these, you know, these different shows. But it's the sales cycle has started at some of these for sure. And there's been some pricing opportunities that I've been able to bring to the table. Some may not have been a fit for us at the time, or the brands may have been too small, but I have had a couple. There's one that's currently in my sales pipeline, that we've, you know, done a little bit of business with, and we're looking to, you know, expand that. It's a really good fit for Zipline. But what I've noticed is I at these shows, it's these emerging brands that are, not super small, but they're just getting to the point where they're about to break out. And they're still small enough to where they may have the CEO or the COO that's at these shows, and you get a chance to make that connection. Those are the ones that I've found to be the most promising opportunities.
Some of my favorite conversations that I've had is, I mean, probably no surprise given my background, but just when you're able to get some more information and learn from each other, there's a whole lot of conversations about understanding how, you know, this prospect, customer, vendor fights back charges with UNFI or Kihi, that we're able to use a little bit differently with our customers, or help with, or be able to give them some advice on what they should be doing differently. Again, that's one of our values, is education and experience. So it's really nice to be able to do that in person and have the time to do it, just, you know, versus in between, you know, like loads or shipments or, you know, like problems or supply chain issues. So that's one of my favorite things to be able to do at these shows is to learn and kind of grow together as an industry.
It's a great call out. One of my favorites was someone that we were working with. We knew they were going to be there. We did not know the extent of their booth. And we got there and the booth was like, you know, 2.5 times the normal typical booth that was there. And we didn't manage the transportation for them. And they're like, oh, I didn't think that you did that. You just handle, you know, into this X retailer or whatever. We're like, oh, we can absolutely handle that from next time. And it was, you know, significant savings because of our trade show experience. I mean, candidly, obviously, we deliver to some of those shows with our booth. So we certainly do that, as well as for a number of our customers.
Yeah, to make sure we can get there.
That's awesome. Well, if you have any other questions around moving freight, or you want to follow up with Joe and Tyler, please reach out, 888-GO-ZIPLINE. They answer the phone. They'll talk to you. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. Joe, Tyler, thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Absolutely. We will see everybody next time on the Zipline Logistics podcast.